think one of the devil's tactics is he will try to intimidate and frighten us as God's people. And we must always remember that the devil is the real enemy, not flesh and blood, not the people he works through. But through people's threats and opposition and attacks, the devil would love to frighten us until we're too afraid to speak out as Christians, we stay silent, or to just wear us out so we lose heart and we're discouraged. Think of the example of Goliath taunting the Israelites, and the army was too afraid and wouldn't face him. Think of the Rabshakeh as he's threatening and insulting the people of God outside the walls of Jerusalem, and Hezekiah's trapped inside. Think of the way the Sanhedrin threatened the apostles, trying to frighten them to be silent. They're all examples of the evil one's servants trying to frighten, dispirit, threaten God's people. And we know how relevant this is for us today, because we probably all feel that there's a pressure to be silent. Not just about our faith, but specifically in this country, when it comes to Islam or matters of sexuality, there's a fear that if you speak up as a Christian, you'll be attacked. But this is the work of the evil one, trying to stop us, make us be silent. So in our passage in 1 Peter, the apostle's continuing to teach us how to suffer well, how to patiently endure evil, following the Lord's own example, how to be faithful under fire, how to submit to God in suffering, how to persevere through persecution, and that we are to seek to be gracious. We're not to respond with insults and attacks, reviling, revenge of our own, but to entrust everything to God. And in that context, I want us to focus tonight on the words of verses 14 and 15 in particular, where the apostle says, "Do not be afraid of their threats, nor be troubled, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear." So there's nothing new under the sun, even though people will we're threatening the first century church, may threaten us today. We are to be ready to give a defense of the faith. We're not to be intimidated. We're not to be afraid. But we're to faithfully bear witness and speak the truth. That's what Peter's saying. You probably know that the word defense, in the original, it gives us the word from which we get the word apologetics. It means set out the case for the gospel. Explain, defend, persuade people to see that it's true. Why we believe the gospel is our hope. So we mustn't be silent. And we've got to continue to testify. Now, to help us do that, Peter says something very powerful. So that we don't give in to fear, he says we must sanctify the Lord God in our hearts. Meaning, hallow the Lord in our hearts. We must value and esteem the Lord, his holiness, his greatness. We must revere him with deep conviction, deep feeling from the heart. He's saying we must be in such awe of God that the Lord God is the one so precious, so important. We tremble before his holiness, that we will not fear men. He's saying the way to overcome the fear of men is to fear the Lord God truly. To honour him, look to him as the Holy One. And that when we understand and when we respect the Lord and his transcendent glory, oh, what is man compared to that? Man's dust. Man's a vapor compared to the Holy One. Peter's saying the same thing to us here that that the Lord Jesus says, as it's recorded in Luke 12. You know, he says there, "My friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do. But I will show you whom you should fear. Fear him who, after he is killed, has power to cast into hell. Yes, I say to you, fear him." God's the one you don't want as an enemy, not any man. God is the one to please. Now here Peter takes these words from Isaiah chapter 8 and from verses 12 to 13 there. And the context there is so fitting and it's so helpful. This word to Isaiah from the Lord came during a time of great fear and a lot of anxiety for God's people. If you can remember what's taking place in the chapters around this prophecy, Syria and Israel have allied together against Judah and Jerusalem and against the line of David to Ahaz. And they're threatening that they're going to invade and overthrow King Ahaz and replace him with their own kind of puppet king. Because then they want to try and take on the Assyrians. And so there's this time of real fear that war's coming, everything could be lost. So it says in Isaiah chapter 7 verse 2, "The heart of Ahaz, the king, and the hearts of the people were moved as the trees of the woods are moved by the wind." So they're shaken, you know, they're quaking. They can't stand under this. They're afraid. So it's in that fear God sends the prophet with this word. "Do not be afraid. Trust the Lord. He will save you from these invaders." There's a very clear promise of it. Don't go and make an alliance with Assyria that will lead to ruin. Trust the Lord. And of course, you'll know it's in this context that we're given the Emmanuel promise. That the Lord says the line of David will not come to an end. There's going to be a future king, one even born of a virgin, one who is God with us, who will save his people, defeat his enemies, bring an everlasting peace, whose kingdom will never end, our Lord Jesus Christ. So Isaiah wonderfully preaches the gospel to God's people to say, don't be afraid. This is God's promise and the king that you will have. But of course, Ahaz, he doesn't believe. And he makes an alliance with Assyria. And he threatens Isaiah. So this is the whole backdrop here of faith versus fear. And that's when, then, in verse 11 that I read, the Lord speaks to Isaiah, telling Isaiah not to be afraid, but to go on proclaiming the good news and the promise of God. So it just fits perfectly for Peter to quote that in this passage. The Lord says to Isaiah, don't call everything a conspiracy. That's what the people were doing. They were so afraid, they saw enemies everywhere. Could you even say they were becoming paranoid and divisive and suspicious, hopeless? There's enemies under every rock. Don't give in to that kind of conspiracy thinking, says the Lord. Don't join in with it. Don't be troubled by threat. The Lord of hosts, him you shall hallow. Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, as Peter translates it. Just the same message. If we're feeling afraid or intimidated, unable to speak out, set your eyes on the Lord. What can man do to me? So there's just one very simple practical truth that I deduce from this. That a weighty sense of the holiness of God on our hearts is the best protection against the fear of men. A weighty sense of the holiness of God on your heart is the best protection against fear. To have a profound conviction, awareness of the immense glory and majesty of the Lord is what we need most. And so, of course, whenever we're thinking about Isaiah, you've got to think about the vision that he's given, that's in Isaiah chapter 6. When he goes into the temple and he's given that vision of God's glory, he sees the Lord seated on a throne, high and lifted up, and the cherubim are covering their faces because the glory of God is so great. And his train fills the whole temple. And the angels are saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of hosts. Now, the whole book of Isaiah, all his ministry is shaped by this vision. It's all really an outworking of this vision of the holiness of God that was impressed upon him. So obviously we're not going to experience a vision like that. Well, not till glory. But here and now, the Holy Spirit can impress the same sense of holiness on our hearts as we study the scriptures. And through them, we will perceive the holiness and glory of the Lord. And we must seek to cultivate this. Seek it, pray for it. Not only is the Lord the creator of all things, but a God so holy that to deal with sin, he was willing for his own sinless son to die. That is how holy God is. I was just reading earlier today the description, the vision of Christ in Revelation chapter 1. And it speaks about his voice being like the sound of many waters, or many rushing waters, which itself is taken from a description of God's glory in Ezekiel. And it just made me think of how a long time ago I had the privilege of going to Niagara Falls. And I don't know if anyone's ever been there. If you've ever been in a waterfall like that. And actually the noise of the waters is deafening. The huge roar and crash of it, and it just fills the whole space. And that's what it makes me think of when it speaks about his voice being like the sound of many waters. The power, the majesty filling everything. So awesome. So the message of these verses, brothers and sisters, is don't be afraid. Don't be silent. Don't be intimidated. But hallow the Lord God is what we need to do. Let's pray together. Our Lord and Father in heaven, you are the one who is holy, holy, holy. And we believe that your holiness and glory is far above our ability to comprehend. That your majesty, O Lord, is so great as the King of the universe that there is no man who could even see your face and live. That even the sinless holy angels must veil their faces before the greatness of your glory. And we humbly ask, O Lord, that you would truly and deeply impress on our hearts a conviction of your holiness, that your spirit within us would lead us to sanctify you in our hearts, to hallow you in our hearts, to revere you as we ought. And we humbly ask, Lord, that as our eyes are fixed on you, that you would please give us a holy boldness to stand against the world, its lies, not to be afraid of the pressures that come from the devil and from evil men. But Lord, please give us courage to be your witnesses in our time. We humbly ask in Jesus' name. Amen.